In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Last week, Solomon seemingly broke our knees over the adultery that we commit, despite having Christ as our groom. Chapters 1 through 9 of Proverbs serves two purposes: to acquaint us with wisdom, and to push us to being committed to wisdom. All of that was preliminary work for the rest of Proverbs. Solomon now moves on to giving us practical advice, if you will, that benefits how the Christian leads a righteous life. Chapters 10 through 15 have many short sayings that give out little pieces of wisdom, and we could certainly cover all of them, but do not tempt Vicar. You see, looking closely, though, in these five chapters, there is a common theme. Solomon is instructing us how we are to use our hands and our mouths to serve our neighbor. Solomon first begins with our hands. And now when I use the word hands throughout the sermon, I don't mean everything our hands touch, like our work that we do, but everything regarding how we act, the actions that we take, and what we do. He says, by our hands, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Solomon relates the work of our hands to wealth. Makes sense, for you can connect the wealth that someone has by the work that they have done or are currently doing. When it comes to discussing profits, money, and wealth in the Proverbs, there are always three things to remember. First, money is not inherently evil. It is the love of money that drives us astray and into sin. Second, all wealth and worldly possessions are a gift from God. Yes, we may work for them. Yes, someone may give them to us, whether as payment or maybe it is their business to, you know, put food in the market so that we can buy it. But ultimately, it is God's providence that allows us to have these things according to our needs. So the wealth that we have wasn't really ours to begin with. And third, money's value is derived from how it was attained. And what I mean by that is that $1 gain through hard work has more value than $1 million gain through schemes and cutting your neighbor's throat. So, these treasures of wickedness, as Solomon calls them, how are they attained? Solomon says that they attain it by an imbalanced scale, that the wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways, in their hands, are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. A wicked person uses their hands to scheme and take whatever it is that they desire. They deceive others and attain what they want, and though sometimes they may even get it legally or in a way that appears right, they are still breaking the 7th, the 9th, and 10th commandments in doing so, because it was not theirs to begin with. So, in contrast to the treasures of wickedness which are gained by sinful hands that scheme and plot, Solomon now talks about the fruit of righteousness which is gained by nothing other than honest labor. We are exhorted to work hard in our God-given vocations. Whatever it is that you do for a living, or whoever is around you, Solomon has this advice for us. Those who work honestly in their vocations will never starve, and we will be satisfied. Those who take the low road and achieve wealth through wickedness will only continue to crave that wealth and never be satisfied until they are destroyed, whether in this life or in the next. So Solomon says we can pursue wealth now, but we must always remember that wealth is gained only in two ways, in sinful ways or in a righteous way. How you get it and why matters, says Solomon. The hand of the diligent will receive everything that they need to live and be satisfied. They accomplish being rich by being paid what they are due for the work that they do, and they are paid spiritual dividends by our Father in heaven, who delights when we work honestly to feed our families and lift up our employers for whom we work. Solomon also makes mention of the lazy person, and he's quite cheeky about it. You see, we like to assume that those who do not work or are lazy are not doing anything. Well, Solomon disagrees and says that they are, in fact, accomplishing something. They are accomplishing their own poverty. So he was being kind of smart with that one. We are exhorted, though, to be prudent with our hands, to know when it is a good time to work and when it is and to see the opportunity to be profitable in our honest work, and to rest our hands, and to know the difference between seasons of harvest and seasons where we rest and wait for the harvest. Regarding our hands, you can also connect our behavior. Solomon in chapter 11 talks about righteous living. He says, "When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way of right, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead." We are to act in all that we do with humility. The hardest thing about pride and arrogance is that it is usually accompanied by stubbornness, a refusal to heed counsel, you know, to say that I know best. How dare you correct me? I know exactly what I'm doing. This proud attitude leads to shame when the proud one falls. We are also urged to live with integrity. And what is integrity, and why should we, well, live with it? We are told that the one who lives with integrity is guided by that integrity. In fact, it makes us righteous. Now, it may sound odd to our Lutheran ears to say that we are made righteous by integrity, but remember, who is the source of wisdom and righteousness? Christ. Christ grants us our righteousness, our wisdom, and our integrity. So when we live according to that integrity which he has given us, we are merely walking in the steps of righteousness with God and with our neighbor. Our paths are kept straight, we are kept out of trouble, and our ways do not go down to death. Now, he also talks about our actions in regard to the civil realm. When it goes well with the righteous, right, the city rejoices, and when the wicked man dies, well, they also rejoice. Our hands must build up our society and our neighbors, not just for our good, but also for theirs as well. Solomon says, "A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death." Once again, Solomon stresses the importance of honest living. Honest living in our vocations. It cannot be stressed enough. Do whatever you want, Make money however you want. But the most important thing, the one thing that God cares about in our vocations, is that we live with honor and we live with integrity. There is one who gives yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. We are to be kind and generous with our hands and with our actions, because in return, we will receive that back to us. If not in this life, then always in the life to come. I'll sum up our hands like this. With our hands, we are to work. We are to work honestly, not partaking in schemes to bring down our neighbor or take what is his, but to live with integrity. Showing mercy and compassion for all those we work with, who we work for, and all the strangers that we come across in our lives. Our hands build up our homes, our church, and our society. We have been called to act in service and love to our neighbors in these places. And action is good. Let us work. But Solomon was not just talking about what we do, but he is more concerned, in a way, with what we say. With our hands, we do many things, but with our mouths, we do even more. Solomon says, "Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Whoever has hatred, hides hatred, has lying lips, but whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of wisdom." From the mouth comes forth blessings and curses. With it, we can build up our homes, build up our communities, and build up our church just as much as though we, when we use our actions. And likewise, we can tear down our loved ones, our neighbors, and the church by our careless words. Our actions, some say, can in fact often speak louder than words. But our words are used more often and much quicker and in a moment than our actions. We hold on to words. It's how we're built as humans, as beings who live in a world that was created by the mouth of God and is sustained by every word that comes from his mouth. We have this natural inclination to hold on to words, to the words of others who may or may not matter to us. Words have power. Words can be a blessing or a curse. The tongue, as St. Paul puts it, is often described as a sword. Solomon connects words and actions. He says a wise man follows the Ten Commandments of God, but the fool would rather run his mouth than do the good that God has put before him in these commandments. A mouth of a fool only sends forth death and harm like arrows, while the righteous put forth springs of living water from their mouths. Whether that is a well-timed word of encouragement to a fellow brother or sister, or maybe even the life-giving gospel, our mouths flow forth blessings and curses. Our mouths also are something that requires great responsibility and understanding. Solomon describes a wise person as one who knows when to shut up and hold their peace in whatever wisdom they have until he knows it is appropriate to speak it. While the fool is often described as one who has the occasional diarrhea of the mouth and loses whatever wisdom he has when he opens his mouth. He's like someone who, the more they talk, the more foolish they seem, and that maybe they ought to be silent. And what kinds of foolishness comes from the mouth? Solomon says slander and hypocrisy. Our mouths are not to be filled with such things, but they are to be filled with righteousness, with speaking well of our neighbor, encouraging them, and spreading the gospel for the forgiveness of sins. What comes out of our mouths matter, But what matters just as much is what doesn't come out of it. And what do I mean? Solomon says that he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Sometimes we speak the loudest when we don't say anything at all. When we don't allow ourselves to give voice to what bothers us about another person or what's wrong or what sin you think they may have committed, there is a gift in having the right words, and there is a gift in knowing when to speak those right words. Because we are often very good at offering our own unsolicited advice and counsel, as though if the words we speak will, in fact, bring all wars to an end and bring world peace and heal all troubled souls. Solomon encourages us to, in fact, give good counsel, but he also encourages us to stop and think and listen to a counsel of another before we speak. And there is much more that can be said about the mouth. And I have no doubt that we will revisit it when we talk about the heart. But before I close, I do wish to connect the mouth with our hands. Solomon has talked numerous times about righteous living, living the life of a forgiven Christian in our daily lives. And what does that look like in regards to our neighbor? Well, the first question we ought to ask is, who is my neighbor? Your boss is your neighbor. With your mouth, you say to them, "Yes, boss, I'm going to do it." And with your hands, you do it. We ought not to shortchange our employers with our mouths by lying to them and stealing their money through laziness or stealing time. But we are instead to lift them up and work for the good of the business and for them. Your parents are your neighbor. If you are of a younger demographic, then you are to speak respectfully to your parents and do what they tell you the first time around, and maybe not the second. Now, if you're of an older demographic, more well-seasoned, well, this still applies. You still listen to your parents when they tell you to do something, except now you can use your hands and your mature wits to aid them even more than when you were younger. Your kids are your neighbors. You are to build them up with your mouth. You are to teach them the holy scriptures and all things needed for this body and life, and you are to affirm the love that God has given to you for them. And with your hands, you provide a home, clothes, food, and as well, at times maybe, discipline them. As Solomon says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. We are to raise up our children as wise, but how can we do so when we ourselves are not yet wise? So let us study the scriptures and teach it to them. Your church is your neighbor. Here you use your mouth to lift up prayers for your brother and sisters. You sing praises to our God, and we use our hands to partake of the sacraments. Every stranger we encounter is our neighbor. Whether it's a convenience store worker, a waitress, a mailman, whoever it is you run across in the street, if you go to college, it's your professor, whoever it is, we are to show them respect. Gentleness, and we are to use our hands to allow them to serve whatever vocation that they might be serving towards us, and we use our mouths to thank them for that work. We learn this evening the importance of our actions and our words. This does not even cover it all, but that will do for now. When we do not live our lives as forgiven Christians and we fall into the snares of foolishness, we are not using our hands and mouths as God intended. When we lie about other people, when we slander them, when we spread gossip about them, when we force our opinions on them, when we break down the spirit of others, whether it's our spouses or our children or anyone else that we come into contact with, it's when we use our hands to laze away or scheme our way into getting whatever we want, when our actions hurt others, This is not what God intended for us. And we repent of that. We run to the one from whose mouth comes waters of life. And our hands hold on to the hands that were pierced for us. And as we continue to walk through Lent and ponder some of the things that maybe perhaps we could do better at, we remember a father who loves his children disciplines them, and a wise son hears his instruction. And to be wise is to know Christ and to hear these commandments and proverbs and all these statutes which we look at. Well, they're only for us. They are for us as forgiven Christians. And so we take them as a sign that we are God's children and that he is taking us to school, all because he loves us as a dear father loves his dear children. So let us use our mouths and our hands for the glory of God and for the sake of our neighbor. Amen. May the grace of God and a peace that surpasses all human understanding guard and keep our hearts and our mouths in Christ Jesus. Amen.